Welcome back. This is our Halloween week. Thanks for not jumping in there. Appreciate that.
I'm reading about the bunny man.
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
It is that somebody, you know,
and then
it's the bunny man.
Stingy Jack.
Well, yes, this one today is going to be Halloween urban legend. Some of them are kind of funny.
How are they supposed to be scary? The Bunny Man and Stingy Jack. But we should take it serious.
Right. Well, the first one is one that you wanted to do. You really wanted to do this one.
Oh, Black Eyed Children?
Yep.
Fucking creepy. Creepy little fuckers.
And apparently completely untrue.
Oh, could this be true? It's just creepy, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
seems like a story that people tell not to open their door to strangers or pick up hitchhikers.
Well, duh. But.
But duh. It happens and people get killed. That's what it seems
okay,
like.
Okay, but they're kids.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story is they're kids. That makes them unassuming. So they're saying don't pick up people that you think are unassuming, or that you think are assuming, I guess.
Or you could have an episode like you do in The Strangers, where you knock on the door and you answer it, and your ass is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have a feeling in both of those movies, if you didn't answer the door, you would have been fine.
And there is the moral of the story.
That's why I never answer the door.
Don't answer the door.
Half the time, if I even know who's on the other side of the door, I still won't answer it. Because I don't want to deal with people. Okay, so we'll jump right into the first one, the Black Eyed Children. The Black Eyed Children are an American contemporary legend of paranormal creatures that resemble children between ages 6 and 16, with pale skin and black eyes, who are reportedly seen hitchhiking or panhandling or are encountered on doorsteps of residential homes.
Who is creepier than a pale little person with no fucking eyes? I mean,
they have eyes, they're just all black.
Yeah, that's creepy.
That doesn't really just, you know? Is it just the irises that are all black, or is it like the entirety of the eye that's black?
The entirety of the eye, but there's a little white in the middle, which I would assume is some reflection of what they're looking at, I would assume.
Or just like light reflection.
I just think that if you're going to be a monster thing, maybe you should like not look like a monster thing. Like, if you're trying to trick me into
pick a kid.
Yeah, but if I see your eyes are all black, that's a fuck no.
Shouldn't they wear sunglasses to kind of hide the fact that their eyes are all black?
Yeah, but don't they come out at night? Everything happens at night.
Well, I mean, yeah, the best spooky stories are at nighttime.
Right, but I'm just saying, you see one of these little glow-in-the-dark bastards with no fucking eyes, I mean, that's a hard no right there. Hard no. That's if they're real. I think this is just one of those things that you know, is kind of to keep you from picking up hitchhikers and answering your door to strangers, because that's scary, right? I mean, the sanctity of your home or of your car,
right?
Being, you know, invaded like that's scary. These little bastards.
Wild.
Jesus Christ, I mean, it looks like you see one of these, they're just automatically gonna poop.
Exactly. While tabloid coverage of these creatures have claimed that tales of black-eyed children have existed since the 1980s, most sources indicate that the legend originated in 1996, postings written by Texas reporter Brian Bethel on a ghost-related mailing list relating...
It's Bethel.
It's
not Bethel.
Well, you know what? Just get used to me butchering some names, because our next one, the history of Halloween...
Hey, Brian Bethel, come here.
I'm just telling you, history of Halloween, you better buckle up. Because there's going to be some really bad pronunciations.
Well, there's already been a lot of that.
Well, deal with it. You just made me...
Bethel was where he was at.
No, I was further than that, but you messed me up. But we'll just go back to that. So on a ghost-related mailing list... relating two alleged encounters with black-eyed kids. So already he's a reporter. So odds are he's just telling stories to sell, you know. Doesn't say what kind of reporter he is. Like if he's a newspaper reporter or like if Well, I guess you kind of have to be.
Yeah. Well, in the 1980s, too, if you think about it.
Black 96.
Yeah, but didn't I see something about the 1980s?
Yeah, that's when it was supposed to have started.
Right. Well, what year was that? That's like the Friday the 13th movies. The slasher films. Yeah. All that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's no relation there at all.
And then Chucky.
Chucky. That is a creepy little bastard. We should do a Haunted Dolls podcast. Robert the Doll. Annabelle. We should.
I will write that down. Haunted. Yeah, because Robert the Doll, I really think, is...
I'm not going to say I'm terrified of dolls, but I don't like them. I'm not terrified, I just don't like them.
Well, I'm terrified when they ain't got fucking batteries in them and they start talking.
Yeah,
They can go outside then. You've lost your in-house privileges. You're outside. Let the outside people deal with you. What did you say his name was? Bethel?
Bethel.
Bethel, are you sure? Well, that's what we'll go with. Bethel describes encountering two such children in Abilene, Texas in 1996 and claims that a second person had a similar unrelated encounter in Portland, Oregon. His encounter, if I'm not mistaken, because we've heard about this a ton of times, was he was sitting in a car writing out bills or something outside of a movie theater, right?
Yep.
And they came up and asked about trying to get money to see the movie or something, and the movie was already halfway over.
Yeah.
Or some such
kind of
like that.
What fucking scam is that?
And he just had the window on the car cracked, but they kept trying to get him to let them in the car.
No, can't do it. Can't do it.
No, thank you. What's his name again? Bethel?
Bethel.
Bethel. God. Bethel's stories have become regarded as classic examples of creepypasta and gained such popularity that he published a fact book. You know, like the game facts and stuff we look up. Just to keep up with the demand for more info about the new urban legend.
So he's making up stuff.
Well, everybody believed it as an urban legend, so I guess he's just, you know, if it was supposed to have happened, he's just kind of profiting off of his story.
Yes.
But I think that it's all crap, and he's... Where did the cat go? And he's just trying to make money off of it. Yep. So he...
Black-haired child right here.
Yeah. He's going to run over our feet. I know it. In 2012, what's his name? I'm just going to let you cover it.
Bethel
told his story on a reality TV series, Monsters and Mysteries in America. I think we saw that, right?
Yeah, we've seen it.
He wrote a follow-up article for the Abilene Reporter News describing his experience and maintaining his belief that it was legitimate.
Sure. Why not?
If you made it up, you're going to maintain that it really happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, believe that I made it up.
I believe that this really happened to me. I mean, he's not going to say, no, it's not true. In 2012, there was actually a horror film called Black Eyed Kids.
We've seen that.
It was produced with Kickstarter funding.
And it was a terrible movie.
I don't remember it, so it must have been bad.
It was terrible.
Commenting that the creepy children is thought to have helped spread the legend on the internet.
Yeah, there's creepypastas and shit too.
Yeah. I think we should do maybe one on creepypastas.
Yeah. I mean, it was
how they've taken off and everything.
Well, Slender Man, Jeff Giller, you know, those are some ones that have really taken off. But I think this was an actual urban legend then.
Wasn't Jeff the Killer the one that our oldest dressed up for as Halloween?
Yes.
Yeah. During one week in September of 2014, the British tabloid Daily Star ran three front-page stories about alleged sightings of black-eyed children connected to the cell of a supposedly haunted pub.
Is it racist if you call them black eye?
Hey,
black eyes. Is that racist?
No, because they have black eyes.
Yeah, but I mean, it feels racist.
If they had white eyes, they'd be called white-eyed children. Yeah. If they had purple eyes, they'd be purple-eyed children.
Still racist. I just think that you identify somebody by their, you know, eye color like that. That's racist.
Really?
Yeah.
You're adorable. Apparently, these sightings happened because of a selling of a pub in Staffordshire. The paper claimed a shock rise in sightings around the world. Alleged sightings are taken seriously by ghost hunters, some of whom believe black-eyed children to be extraterrestrials, vampires, or ghosts.
Okay. Stop there. If they're extraterrestrials,
they could be like the star children.
Oh, like starseed?
Yeah. Like they're what the aliens come and steal eggs and swimmers for.
And if they're vampires, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just a legend, but I thought they're supposed to be pretty strong and they can just rip the door off the hinges.
Vampires, we're going to do a podcast on history of vampires.
Of
but
course, pale with black eyes. And
a lot of myths associated with vampires, and you'll see it in a lot, well, not a lot, but some. Actually, almost all except for Anne Rice and Stephanie Meyer. You have to invite the vampire in before they can come into your house.
Why? What is that?
They can't cross the threshold unless they're invited.
It's like a force field.
Yeah, they physically can't do it.
Invite me in.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in Buffy. You've seen it in True Blood.
Well, that's just fucking torture on its own, isn't it? Because you could sit in a chair at your doorway.
Yeah, and they can't do anything unless you invite them in. They can't. Yep.
And what if you go outside, though? If you go outside, it's...
Well, yeah, once you're outside, you're fucked. But... And then once you let them in... You know. Mm. You can kind of... In most instances, I think you can rescind your invitation. But I think they go with the vampire...
Oh, no, you didn't say anything about biting my neck. Fuck on out of here.
You're ridiculous. But I'm assuming because they're so adamant about being invited into your car or your house, that's why they...
Come to my house, try to drink my blood. Fuck off.
The vampire myth to it.
Sorry, go ahead.
And ghosts can just go wherever they want to. They don't.
They
need
can.
To
I mean, they can really. So a door's not really going to
stop them,
right?
Yeah.
Hmm. And you said that paranormal investigators take this very seriously.
Yeah, of course they do.
Because they don't take anything else seriously.
Right. Well, I mean, we've seen stuff on YouTube about pictures taken of kids outside with the black eyes.
Sure.
And, like racist. Drone cameras have caught it.
The hunter cams. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's creepy in itself that someone's letting their fucking kid.
Well, I mean, I'm not convinced wandering. That it's an actual flesh and blood kid. I mean, it could be a ghost.
Are you a paranormal investigator? Are you starting to believe everything?
No.
It's obviously a staged.
Explain. I mean, it could be, but if it's not. Explain why a kid's outside at 3 o'clock in the damn morning.
Because they got irresponsible fucking parents.
Well, there's
that's
that
why.
That's why. Well, out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. Why not? Absolutely.
So you're telling me your crazy ass.
I'm going to make it. This creepypasta is going to be real. Come on, Elma Dean. Get out there. Walk around.
I mean, I know you were a hellion when you were little.
That has nothing to do with being a hellion. I'm talking about irresponsible parents.
Exactly. Me too. I mean... Did your mom know where you were at until it was dark?
No, but I sure as fuck ain't walking in front of a camera. That's just too perfect. Too perfect. I'm sorry, it's too perfect. Like, it caught that picture at that time. That's perfect.
Mm-mm. It's a trail camera.
Yeah,
it's motion activated.
I know what it is, but it's a little too perfect. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's ridiculous. Black-eyed children?
Could be contacts.
Maybe. I mean, that's possible. Could be.
Because they do make contacts like that. But then I don't know why you'd be putting contacts like that into a 6-year-old's eyes.
Because you're irresponsible, right?
That's what you're just going to keep going back to.
Well, think about all the stuff that parents do to their kids just to make a buck. Honey boo boo. Boom. There it is. Say no more. Boom.
Have you ever actually watched a Honey Boo Boo?
I have not, but it seems ridiculous to me. Boom. There it is. Move on.
You're adorable. Next is the Bunny Man.
God. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I knew you would like that one. Just because of the title. The Bunny Man.
I don't even have a sound effect for a bunny.
There isn't a sound effect for a bunny because a bunny doesn't really make noise. And honestly, this is kind of terrifying for me because I have been traumatized
by bunnies. I'm gonna
because of Holy Grail. That movie fucked me up for bunnies.
Okay, go ahead.
You can't. You're just every time I say the bunny man, you're gonna giggle like a little girl.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Hear me out on this. Hey guys, be careful. The bunny man's out there. My first question, if I'm in that group,
why are you scared of a bunny man?
No, my first question is, why the fuck y'all call it a bunny man?
Because he wears bunny costume. That's why he's called the bunny man. Okay, are you ready? This is going to be a hard one to get through.
Oh, shit.
The bunny man is an urban legend that originated from two incidents in Fairfax County, Virginia in 1970, but has been spread throughout the Washington, D.C. area. The legend has many variations. Most involve a man wearing a rabbit costume who attacks people with an axe or hatchet.
Right. Bolo out on tricks.
A hatchet's just a little axe, isn't it?
That's a little bunny. Yeah, I mean, he ain't gonna have a fucking huge axe, just a little...
Well, that's what I'm saying. A hatchet is like the little axe thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Most of the stories occur around Closter Overpass, a Southern Railway overpass spanning Closter Road near Clifton, Virginia, sometimes referred to as Bunny Man Bridge.
Okay, Bunny Man, I've heard that.
Versions of the legend vary in the Bunny Man's name, motives, weapons, victims, description of the bunny costume or lack thereof, and sometimes even his possible death. So, fun.
So, grown man in a bunny costume probably got killed by somebody. I can see that.
No, the bunny man.
No, it's like the ghost of the bunny man. That's why it's scary. Or he got possessed, and it's possessed bunny man. Is that why it's scary?
Oh, my God.
No?
In some accounts, victims' bodies are mutilated, and in some variations, the bunny man's ghost or aging specter is said to come out of his place of death each year.
And put a carrot in their ass?
Oh, my God. Each year on Halloween to commemorate his passing. Why you gotta put carrots at basses?
I didn't, but that's what Trix is doing.
Wow. Trix?
Yeah, Trix.
Wow, you're gonna ruin Trix for everybody now. The Trix bunny is now the bunny man that shoves carrots at people's butts.
First rabbit, and that rabbit is suspect. It's very suspect. So that's why I went with Trix.
It's the only rabbit on a cereal box.
That's why it's suspect. Why are you the only rabbit?
Is Toucan Sam a killer now, too?
Come to mention it? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That beak.
Oh, my God.
The Toucan Man. Ooh, I just made an urban legend.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Fairfax County Public Library historian... Brian A. Conley extensively researched the Bunny Man legend. He has located two incidents of a man in a rabbit costume threatening people with an axe. The vandalism reports occurred 10 days apart in 1970 in Burke, Virginia. The first incident was reported the evening of October 19, 1970 by U.S. Air Force Academy cadet Robert Bennett and his fiancée, who were visiting relatives on Guinea Road in Burke. Around midnight, while returning from a football game, they reportedly parked their car in a field on Guinea Road to visit an uncle who lived across the street from where the car was parked. No, they pulled off the side of the road to do some fucking.
Yeah, they were.
They were getting ready to be busy. Bunnies. They were doing something bunnies like to do. As they sat in the front seat with their motor running, they noticed something moving outside the rear window. Moments later, the front passenger window was smashed and there was a white-clad figure standing near the broken window. Bennett turned the car around while the man screamed at them about trespassing, including your own private property, and I have your tag number. So it could just be a crazy person.
Wearing just some feety pajamas.
You've been a bunny man before, too.
I have. And I did not feel like a killer.
Well, to be fair, you were in a pink bunny costume from the Christmas story.
I did not feel like a killer. Serious. I don't get it. That would not interrupt my flow. You know what I mean? Yeah, baby.
You're going to be the best bunny you can be.
Oh, look, someone broke my window and it's a guy in a fucking bunny costume. That bunny's going to get his ass whooped.
Especially if you're a U.S. What was it? U.S. Air Force cadet? Oh, you should be able to handle a man in a bunny costume.
I swear to God, he was wearing a bunny costume. Put a carrot in my ass.
Oh, there we go. As they drove down the road, the couple discovered a hatchet on the car floor. So the window busted open, but you don't notice a hatchet coming in the car?
No, look, it's not convenient for the urban legend. Okay, it has to be discovered sometime later, like...
like the hook on the door?
We were that close.
Like the hook
hanging. Having a carrot in
it. Yeah, hook hand, what is it, hook hand hanging on the door? When police requested a description of the man, Bennett insisted he was wearing a white suit with long bunny ears.
Did he have a carrot knife?
He had a hatchet.
Carrot hatchet?
It was a hatchet.
Made of carrots?
No, just a hatchet.
Used to cut carrots?
Well, maybe. I'm assuming probably. However, Bennett's fiance contested their assailant did not have bunny ears on his head, but was wearing a white cap of some sort.
Okay, so
she doesn't want to admit the fact that somebody in bunny ears attacked him.
Yeah, you could say they're like a fucking bunny, but...
I ain't doing that. They both remembered seeing his face clearly, but in the darkness they could not determine his race. Now that's racist.
That is racist. It was a white outfit. Probably a Klan's member. I'll be honest.
Well, it was Virginia. The police returned the hatchet to Bennett after examination. Bennett was required to report the incident upon his return to the Air Force Academy. The second... Can you imagine going back to the Air Force Academy and explaining that?
He was wearing a bunny outfit. He hit me in the back of the head with a carrot hatchet.
I can't imagine.
They put a carrot in my ass.
I can't imagine he was with the Academy much
longer.
Still
pissing carrot juice.
Oh my God.
Shitting carrot cake. Oh my God. Seriously.
So the ass, while the carrot was in the ass, it made carrot
cake.
Juice and cake.
It made cake. I like your cakes. Oh my God.
Wow. The second reported sighting occurred on the evening of
October.
You know
October. Who I can see doing this? Bugs Bunny. That motherfucker. I swear to God. He's got, him and Elmer had some shit going on, and I feel like that he probably was murdered by Elmer because he was so fucking annoying. And Elmer was like, "Silence of the Lambs, I'm gonna wear your skin. And then we'll kill people with carrots."
How'd Elmer Fudd fit the skin? Because Elmer Fudd was like 2 feet tall.
It puts its lotion on the skin, or it gets the hose again. He shrunk it.
He shrunk the bunny suit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but Bugs Bunny wasn't white.
Well, they couldn't see really. I mean, it was dark. It could have looked white, but it was a light gray.
Good Lord. My, okay. The second reported sighting occurred on the evening of October 29th, 1970, when construction security guard Paul Phillips approached a man standing on the porch of an unfinished home in Kings Park West on Guinea Road. Phillips said the man was wearing a gray, black, and white bunny costume. There you go. It was Bugs Bunny. And was about 20 years old, 5'8" tall, and weighed about 175.
And said, "What's up, Doc? Is this the way to Albuquerque?" Okay, go
ahead. Now, I don't think you have it out of your system yet, but we'll just keep going. The man began chopping at a porch post with a long-handled axe, saying... "You are trespassing. If you come any closer, I'll chop your head off."
Oh, that, well, I mean, that's, the, I mean, hey, you're trespassing.
The Fairfax.
Get in my fucking bunny hole.
Oh my God. The Fairfax County Police opened investigations into both incidents, but both were eventually closed for lack of evidence. In the weeks following the incidents, more than 50 people contacted the police claiming to have seen the bunny man. Several newspapers, including the Washington Post, reported that the bunny man had eaten a man's runaway cat. In 1973, Patricia Johnson, a student at the University of Maryland College Park, submitted a research paper that chronicled precisely 54 variations on the two incidents.
Okay, so in all seriousness, this is a person with a mental disability.
Wearing a bunny costume. It's like that one...
Or it did happen once, and then someone was like, that sounds like a good idea, because this motherfucker ain't still 20 years old. If this happened in the 70s and then it happened again.
No, these two incidences happened in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
That research paper, she found that there were 54 different versions of those two stories.
Well, I wouldn't see why there'd be 54 different versions.
Well, I mean, each one's... each one's something's different.
Well, how could it be the same?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
Closter Overpass was built in about 1906 near the site of Sangster Station, a Civil War era railroad station on what was once the Orange and Alexandria Railroad.
Fucking Easter Bunny snapped. Done!
Well,
stay away from my eggs.
He's had enough people peeing on his lap.
I guess.
Because of its association with the legend, the overpass is a popular destination for paranormal enthusiasts and curiosity seekers. Interest increases around Halloween, and starting in 2003, local authorities began controlling access to the area during that time. During Halloween 2011, over 200 people, some from as far away as the Pennsylvania-Maryland state line, were turned away during a 14-hour traffic checkpoint into the area.
So they thought some serial killers were fucking bunny.
They waited 14 hours to go to this bunny man bridge hoping to see the bunny man.
It's a fucking furry. It's a furry. That's what it is.
Were furries around in the 70s?
Apparently there's a bunny man. Oh shit. I'm sorry. Oh, that's funny.
And now, we go to the legend of Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. Now,
everybody's heard this one.
A lot of us has tried it. And jack shit happened.
Right.
But I do believe that you see things in the mirror.
Because you're in there thinking you're going to see something, you're already thinking something's going to happen, so you make yourself see something. So, one of the people that Bloody Mary could be was Mary, the one surviving child of Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon, who ruled over England between 1553 and 1558. Thank God it wasn't longer. But history confirms that Mary I was already vexed when she took the throne because some Protestants managed to initiate her cousin Lady Jane Grey as queen before Mary forcibly took the crown. So, by the time Mary was getting ready to step into the throne, I guess, she was a full-fledged Catholic. The country didn't want to go back to that because Henry had broken off from the Catholic Church, started his own church, and all these other religions were popping up everywhere. And they knew that if Mary was on the throne, she was going to force everybody back to being Catholic. So that's why they put Jane Grey on the throne. Her first execution order was for the Lord of Northumberland for his role in the attempted coup. Mary didn't stop with him. She also executed 300 Protestants over the course of her reign, earning herself the moniker Bloody Mary. That would do it.
Seems like...
She was crazy.
Pretty vicious.
She's crazy.
Definitely not the person that you don't want to pay, like, a loan back to, or... someone maybe that you don't want to fart when her mouth is open. I mean, you need to be careful.
Okay. Wow. But how did her story evolve to the modern day legend that uttering her name three times in front of a mirror will summon her?
Because kids were bored.
Exactly. Some say the Bloody Mary legend may not be linked to the Queen of England at all, but a witch who met her end during the Salem witch trials. A variation of the story includes summoning the victim, Mary Roth, But there was no such name on the witch roster at Salem.
Well, so, that's weird that that was made up like that.
Really?
Sorry.
There are also details of lots of other variations of the Bloody Mary story and alleged results if the chant actually works. Whoever she is, if Bloody Mary actually appears in the mirror, she might reach out and scratch you, pull you across the mirror,
scratch you,
or possess you.
What's that? Possess you?
Yeah.
Shit. That's weird.
Yeah. What is supposed to happen if you turn the lights off and say it three times in the mirror?
You're supposed to see her in the mirror.
That's it?
Yeah. They did a variation of this in the Paranormal Activity movies, and when they were playing with Toby, the demon.
No, it was the one where they were little girls.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was in a Paranormal Activity movie.
Yeah, they were saying it, yeah. But it wasn't Bloody Mary that answered. It was Toby that scared the shit out of the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, Toby. That's because if you look it up, that's a demon. Toby.
Yeah, because, anyway. Yeah. Toby's anyway. Totally be right. Scared of. All right, and here's the one you made fun of at the beginning. Stinging Jack, the Jack-O-Lantern, haunts your dreams. This one's been around for a while.
Okay, well, it seems like a classic. Let's hear it.
Way back around the 1500s, an Irish blacksmith named Stinging Jack invited the devil for a drink.
It's always that. I mean, it is always that. Like, hey, we left your place, hoping you're going to show. Don't stand us up. Don't be a bitch.
Well, this one didn't quite go that way. Unwilling to pay for the cocktails, Jack convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin to settle the tab. Let's and then stop. Skipped with the money.
Let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. Okay? If we're to believe who the devil is, Lucifer, the master manipulator, he was tricked by a guy named Stingy.
This guy.
I'm Stingy Jack.
This guy tricks him a couple of times.
Him and that damn fucking fiddler.
Later, he let the devil turn back into himself on the promise he wouldn't claim Jack's soul when the cheapskate died. When the two crossed paths again, Jack talked the devil into climbing a tree and then carved a cross in the trunk so he couldn't get down. Remember,
what about the other side of the tree? Never mind.
This is a legend that's been around since the 1500s. For the second time, Jack let the devil free on the promise his soul wouldn't go to hell. But guess what? When Jack died, heaven wouldn't take him.
So ultimately, who wins?
The devil kept his promise to leave Jack's soul alone, instead giving him a burning coal so he could find his own hell. Next, according to the 1835 Dublin Penny Journal, Jack spent the next few centuries wandering around in the dark with his coal, which he kept in a turnip. According to history...
Wait a minute. He kept a burning coal in a turnip and the turnip never went bad?
No.
It's a fucking hell turnip. That's why.
According to history, folks in Ireland and Scotland started carving frightening faces into turnips and potatoes to scare the Jack of the Lantern or Jack-o'-lantern away. The tradition traveled to England, where large beets were favored for carving. And upon arriving in America, colonial pioneers decided to use pumpkins. So that's where the carving of pumpkins came from. And you're totally not... Oh, Hades! Really?
It's the jack-o'-lantern.
No, it's the cat Hades. We'll just keep going, because you're totally not...
Oh, no, I'm... You lost me in Stingy Jack. I don't know. That's just...
It's the legend of how... That why and
we
how...
We have jack-o'-lanterns.
Jack-o'-lanterns came to be.
Because we tricked the devil out of a quarter, put him in a tree, drew a cross on the tree... He got stuck in it, and he was like, fuck you. I'm not going to mess with your soul, but you're going to have to carry around some coal and a stinky turnip. And then people would just carve stuff. I heard the whole thing.
When you were trying to get Hades to attack my feet, you were listening.
I heard the whole thing.
It's nice. All right. Moving on. The urban legend of Halloween campus killers.
Now, this is kind of creepy, right? Because Ted Bundy was a campus killer. There's been campus killers out there.
Yeah, but
happy,
these...
Happy Death Day and happy whatever. That was about a campus killer.
This would be multiple killings. And just wait, because this is going to make you laugh, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is this stories that people have, let's have a PJ party and tell these stories? Is this what this is?
It's urban legends.
Okay.
Are you telling me you don't know what an urban legend is?
No, I know exactly what an urban legend is.
Yeah, they all start as creepy ghost stories.
But this is not creepy, these are funny.
Well, that's why I picked them. What's worse than being killed by a psycho? You ready for this?
Yes.
Being killed by a psycho dressed as Little Bo Peep.
Fucking kidding me. You gotta be, this is...
No. A psychic once predicted on a talk show that a Halloween mass murder will happen on a college campus. But guess what?
What?
You never know what talk show this actually happened on.
Montel? Maury?
Probably.
Jerry
Springer? Sally?
Yeah. Donahue?
What's the one where she actually... Was that the Sally that she got kicked off because of the one scandal?
Nope.
What was her name?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't remember her name.
She was trying to be Sally. There's only one Sally.
Yeah. Sometimes only young women will be the victims, and sometimes the axe or knife wielding killer will either be dressed as Bo Peep or wearing, get this, because this is so original, a scream mask.
It's already been done.
Like 4 or 5 times. I mean, and I think they're redoing those movies or doing another one because we need another Scream movie. It will happen at one of the bigger colleges, or one that starts with a certain letter, or one whose colors are orange or black, or one that is conveniently located near a lake, pond, river, or railroad tracks.
Okay, so
any
you
college,
avoid those.
Any college anywhere.
You avoid those.
This legend has actually been floating around since the late 1960s. But has it happened? Nope. Not until last year. That's when 5 people really were killed at a college Halloween party in California, which took place at an Airbnb. I tried to do some research on that, but since it's still like an ongoing case,
no details.
There's not a whole lot of details. There's been quite a few people arrested, I think. But maybe next Halloween we can do a podcast on that.
Were they dressed like a Little Bo Peep?
Well, it doesn't say that they were dressed up. It's only mentioned here because it's the only legitimate that can be proven Halloween college murder.
Little Bo Peep strikes again.
I had never heard the Little Bo Peep part of it before.
Baby knew your help.
Laughed my ass off when I saw the Little Bo Peep.
Yeah, we have a guy in a diaper.
I mean, granted, it's Halloween, and the easiest way to get out in and out of places on campus and Halloween is to be dressed up.
It's pretty smart.
But...
It's pretty smart.
Little Bo Peep.
It's pretty smart.
I guess you're not going to suspect that, but the Scream guy, well, you already know he's going to kill you. Because you've seen enough movies to know that. Next one. Halloween decoration or dead body.
Now, this actually did happen.
It did.
This did.
To Elmer McCurdy.
I believe it was a hayride, wasn't it?
This is a different one. Elmer McCurdy, remember, he died in 1911, and he resurfaced as a funhouse dummy in 1976. That entire time, from 1911 to 1976, he was used as a prop. Remember the funeral home that did his body? Nobody came to claim him, so he was on display there. As
CR work
for
it's pristine,
right? And then somebody bought him, and he was in like a
that's slavery
as a freak show type thing, I think. And then he eventually ended up in a fun house, and stuff started falling off of him by that point, I guess. Neat. And then they realized it was a real dead body. And then, if that's not enough, there are other true stories of this happening. And you're right. In 1990, a New Jersey teen accidentally hanged himself on a Halloween hayride. He wasn't discovered until he failed to deliver his speech. I guess he gave a speech every time they did it when the driver stopped. There are more talks of another boy who was observed struggling in a noose by passerby. They thought he was part of the Halloween festivities, so paid it no mind. And another kid accidentally hung himself while decorating his aunt's home for Halloween.
Oh.
Can you imagine me and the aunt coming home and seeing that? Then, of course, there are suicides. The woman who hanged herself in 2005 and wasn't reported for hours because she was thought to be a Halloween dummy.
Well, she kind of was a dummy, right?
Right. And a man who shot himself in the head and was presumed to be a Halloween porch prop for 3 days. Wow, that blood and brain looks real.
Hey, the neighbors went all out. Even got the stink.
3 days.
Wow. Oh, Captain Obvious.
Okay, now here's the thing. We have done one of these haunted trail thingies.
No, was it really, though?
And it was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
It was a waste of money. It was horrible.
You and the other people that was with us were screaming.
Well, I was screamed laughing. Because I turned around and there was a motherfucker 2 inches from my back.
I'm laughing the whole fucking time, and you guys are screaming.
That's the only time I screamed, because I turned around because I tripped. Because I fall over even ground, and we were outside. And I tripped, and this asshole was right behind me.
Yeah, so they load you up in this bus, I guess. It's like a little mini bus. Take you, and they drop you off at this barn. This was out in the woods, so that was kind of creepy in itself. But you walk through this barn that's obviously lined with trash bags and foam. And
well, yeah, you feel know like what that is.
You feel like you're in an enclosed space, and they talk it up like it's real scary. And, so disappointed from the get-go.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be themed, like an enchanted forest theme.
And then you go into the forest, and you walk through this trail. I don't know. Could have been maybe a quarter of a mile. And you have all the cliches jump out at you. Like
werewolves, clowns.
So dumb.
There wasn't even supposed to be clowns there. It was literally supposed to be an enchanted, like, your evil queens type forest from fairy tales.
Wasn't even scary.
It wasn't. It was ridiculous, and it cost us $50 freaking.
Not even scary.
It's not even a thing now. Now it's like a zip line thing.
Yeah. Well, because they failed at the horror thing.
And last but not least, I know you're going to love this one. The Halloween legend of the spider wig.
Sure. What is this?
So, I'm sure people have bought wigs for Halloween to go with Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
You wear it to a party, and suddenly, a bunch of creepy, crawly spiders erupt all over your head.
You didn't notice that when you bought the fucking wig. You didn't notice it.
Maybe it wasn't moving.
Okay. Point taken. Normally when you buy something like that, though, it's in some sort of a package.
Right. That's why it's even more messed up. Because you think you're buying a brand new wig and there's nothing in it. But, you know, who's to say that a spider doesn't crawl into the packaging and have babies?
Did this happen? No.
It's because it says arachnophobia isn't that funny. But a little comic relief is necessary when considering the odds of finding a cluster of creepy crawlies in your hairpiece. How have you never heard of this one?
I have. Actually, the other one I've heard of is where one gets in your ear and lays an egg or some shit like that.
Well, the one that I heard of, this one isn't it, but I do mention it in here. It says, urban legend tellers just love this one. The most common story is the victim fetching grandma's nasty old wig from the attic, having it get a bit itchy as the evening wears on,
right.
And finally realizing with horror that spiders are emerging from their hair, cascading over their face and down their neck as people around them flee in terror, because who wouldn't?
Right, but there's also the one, too, where the person licks the envelope and they cut their tongue or whatever. And they get like a cockroach egg in there, and some versions is a spider egg, and then it...
That one I haven't heard of.
And then it incubates in your tongue, and then finally...
I would cut my tongue off. So, you're done. No more tongue.
Right.
The one that I've heard was the one that dated back to the 1950s, when beehives were really popular. Because, you know, when they would do the beehives, they'd go have them done. And then they would spray the hell out of them in hairspray. And not wash them. And then spiders would get in there. And, like, nest in this,
is a real
monstrosity
thing.
Of a hair.
This happened?
Well, of course it didn't happen. But what's scary is that when you had these beehives, it could have. Because they washed their hair maybe once a week to 2 weeks.
It's fucking gross.
And then they would get the beehive again.
It's fucking gross.
And then, the story always goes that the victims die of the spider bites. But a variation of this story did in fact happen.
Oh.
In 2000, a bride in Yemen died after a rival stuck a scorpion in her wedding wig. And she died from the scorpion sting.
That is a fucking master assassin right there.
Uh-huh.
A master assassin. Yep. Wow.
Because she was marrying the man that she wanted.
Not anymore.
And another good one. Is when you go to I can't remember like what the title for it is, but when you go to a thrift store,
yeah,
and you buy a Halloween costume,
better wash that shit,
and then you wear it. It's typically like you do like a wedding dress or a prom dress, always a fancy dress, and you wear it, and as the night wears on, your skin starts getting really itchy, and then like red blotches. Or everywhere. And just when you take the dress off, you're covered. It looks like burns. Go to the doctor, and you find out it's formaldehyde burns. Because the dress was on a corpse for viewing. And instead of letting the corpse be buried in the dress, they took the dress off and took it to a thrift store.
So they should have washed it, really.
Or a secondhand store to where they would buy it.
It's kind of gross. Like, why aren't people washing clothes before they wear them?
Yeah, that's why I always wash clothes before I wear it.
It's fucking gross. You know, I mean, they're not all fake or whatever, but they're all have a meaning to them. That was wash your fucking clothes before you wear them.
In your hair.
But the other thing is, I mean, when I did home health, I mean, you go into people's homes and believe it or not, I mean, I would see, like, just tons of cockroaches. You know, and you're always told don't step on them because the eggs will be on the soles of your shoes and you take those home. And there was one home I went into where, I mean, I seen these little fucking spiders coming from the ceiling. Like, you see them. Like, there's so many of them. You can see them descending from the fucking ceiling. Like, fresh meat. And these people have bites all over them. That's a true story. That's not an urban legend. That's a true story. Like, so much, I was like, I gotta do your shit outside. I can't go in there. You fucking kidding me? Jesus Christ, it's like Harry Potter's forest in there. I can't go in there. You know, but
well, at least there were no big man-eating talking spiders.
I don't know. There could have been. I didn't stick around. Fuck that. But some of these are based in truth. A lot of them, I think, though, are just to teach you a lesson or make you think about doing, you know, before you go do something stupid.
Well, the poison candy, that actually happened.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, parents today, I know we do, we check their candy every time they come home from Halloween.
But I think it's a good policy.
It is. But it only happened. It only actually happened once, and it was Pixie Sticks.
Cyanide, right?
I think it was cyanide. The dad put cyanide in the Pixie Sticks for his kids and a couple of, like, friends of theirs. So that, he tried to throw the scent off. But the dumbass had taken out, like, gigantic life insurance policies on both kids, like, 2 or 3 days before trick-or-treat.
Yep, the man who ruined Halloween.
Yep. And then what gets me is he stapled the Pixie Sticks closed.
These are stapled, Dad. I don't shut the fuck up, eat them.
And he pushed the kid. He's because they of course when they come home, we go through this every trick or treat. Can we have a piece of candy? Can we have some candy before we go to bed? And he pushed the Pixie Sticks. And luckily, I mean, I guess it's not really lucky. I mean, one of the kids died, but it's lucky that it was only one of the kids that died. Because he gave that candy to like 4 or 5, maybe 6 kids. And out of all those 6 kids, only one ate the candy. But
yeah, but that's true. That's a good point. I mean, that is why we all kind of check for razor blades and
shit
like that.
There was a one that I didn't really look at that was one about the razor blade and the apple.
Yeah, and hey, cheap ass, don't give apples for fucking Halloween.
Well,
candy. Candy.
That's a thing that I'll cover in my...
I know.
That's been around since a long, long time.
Before candy.
Before candy.
Yeah.
They would bob for apples. they had to have fun somehow.
Yep.
I mean, kids still bob for apples. I don't understand why, but they do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you've enjoyed this urban legend, Halloween-themed urban legend episode.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to see if anybody would like the urban legend thing, because we might do some more. Because
I promise not to be so cynical.
These were funny and ridiculous. I mean, come on, Bunny Man.
I mean, you think Halloween, you think scary, you don't think, like, ridiculous and...
Bunny Man.
Yeah. So, maybe that's why it was funny. But it was a good time to just go over them and talk about them a little bit.
Yeah. So. And it wasn't intended to be a Halloween urban legend one, but that's what it turned into being.
So what's on the agenda?
The next one will be the history of Halloween.
Ooh, Hallow's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I think that'll be interesting. Where it originated and
right. Where
it's at now, and you know, even some of the events surrounding it, like Devil's Night in Detroit. You know, where
I didn't really talk about that one, but you can because you researched that one a little bit. And then you got Mischief Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mischief Night. Yeah, which can be every night. So, anyway, come join us for the history of Halloween.
And laugh at my very bad pronunciation of stuff, because it will happen.
Yeah, don't miss that.
It
don't
will
miss
happen.
That.
See you next time. Bye.